Anyway, Revelation 13, we are on lesson number 30. If you need that, raise your hand. Lesson number 30, the assisting beast out of the earth. And of course, the false prophet, all indication is he is an assistant or he assists the Antichrist. But he himself has some power, as we will see, and it's not his power, but it is the power of the dragon, the devil. So our memory verse, Revelation 13, verses 16 and 17. Usually when we are teaching on Revelation or when Revelation is announced, these are the two verses that come to people's mind because it is very descriptive of the tribulation time and just the issue of the power of the Antichrist and that. And so I chose these two verses. These are the verses that often people talk about. They talk about the 666 and all of that. So let's go ahead and say those. We'll say the reference, the verse, and then the reference, and begin. Revelation 13, 16, and 17. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Revelation 13, 16, and 17. And let's say it again. Revelation 13, 16, and 17. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Revelation 13, 16, and 17. And Father, we thank you that we will not be a part of that. We thank you that those who are saved will not be here during that time, those that are saved at least now. There certainly will be saved people that will get saved during the tribulation time. But we recognize that there are Christians today who they are a part of something very similar to that in countries other than the U.S. where they are forced to make a decision, forced to make a decision that could cost their jobs, their families, their homes, and their lives. And Lord, we certainly pray that that would not come to America, but we know that we're not certainly immune to that, and it could. And things are happening in America that are getting close to that kind of a system. And we just recognize, Father, that it just means that it's getting closer and closer to the return of our Savior. And so please bless as we study this period, as we study your word, speak to our hearts. Help us again to realize there are people all around us who are lost, who will enter into this time called the tribulation if you were returned soon. So please, speak to our hearts, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we kind of gave an introduction to this section last week and talking about the seven key characters again that we have dealt with in this section 5, what we're calling the appearance of seven key characters, the woman, the dragon, the child, Michael, the remnant, the Antichrist, and now talking about this beast of the earth called the false prophet. And for again, as powerful as the Antichrist seems to be, he does have what I will call an assistant called the false prophet. It is really the uniting of politics and religion. It is the uniting of the kingdom of the Antichrist and religion as a false religion. This is the thing that baffles so many people. Well, I mean, if it's religion, it's got to be good. Not true. And we should know that from the scripture. We should know that the Bible teaches that very clearly, that religion itself doesn't save. Religion itself doesn't change your life. We should understand that. We know that narrow is the way to heaven, to life everlasting. It's not broad. It's very, very narrow. It's not all religions. There is only one way to heaven. And we know that from the Bible. But again, the end times, it is going to, again, it will deceive many, many people, this religion. So we come to Roman numeral 1, that is his appearance. Again, talking about this false prophet. Verse 11 says, I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb. And he spake as a dragon, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And so, again, as we talked about with the Antichrist, let's recognize that he is a man. This false prophet is a person. Just like the Antichrist, he's a person. I would say, again, if the rapture is to take place soon, if the tribulation is to begin soon, I would have to say that this false prophet is a person who is very active today in a religious sort of a way. He is a religious leader. Again, I'm not going to speculate what church. I'm not going to speculate which religion. That is certainly not for me to try to figure out. For years, you know, it has been everybody has been named over the years just as Antichrist. Cute little numerology things have come up with the Antichrist being this person, and then the false prophet is this person, and we've heard over the years many, many different things like that. The main thing to understand is this is another beast. The Bible says in verse 11, another beast coming out of the earth. This is another beast. Another there, the idea is it like the other one, like the Antichrist, it's just another one like him. It's a human being, powerful, only this time a religious power, a leader in religion, a spokesperson for religion. You know, someone who, again, I believe will rise up quickly to the position, but they would be in a position of leadership even well before the rapture or the tribulation. If you can imagine, they will have to be part of explaining away the rapture. You know, when all the Christians are gone, they will be a key person, I think, in all of that. And so this is a human being, a smart, articulate leader of religiousness that will exist during this time and will be promoted as what we will call the false prophet. And so this is a part of, and we'll talk about this a little bit more later on, but what I would call, and many commentators call, the unholy trinity. Satan can't do any. He can't create, if you can, other than creating havoc. He just copies what God does. And much of the Antichrist and that during the tribulation time, much of what goes on is simply he mimics or he copies what God does. And so just as God is the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, well, we see this also during the time of the tribulation. And we see this, what I call an unholy trinity. And again, if you compare it with the Holy Trinity of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, you see the Father, and Satan duplicates that with himself. He would represent the Father, the dragon, if you will, in our chapter here. The Son, of course, is represented by the Antichrist, and literally Satan incarnate. Again, Jesus is God incarnate. Jesus is God in flesh. Well, Satan is, his idea is this Antichrist will be totally empowered by Satan, but it is a human being. So Satan incarnate. And so we have the Father, and Satan duplicates with himself. We have the Son, Satan duplicates with the Antichrist. And then, of course, the Holy Spirit, then duplicated by Satan with what is called, we're calling the false prophet. And so the things that go on, the things that take place, again, as you think about the Son, The Lord Jesus was crucified and he was risen, resurrected. Well, that's, again, you go back to the Antichrist and his deadly wound, which we will talk about later on. But again, that deadly wound, you know, and giving the appearance of him dying and being resurrected. Well, again, Satan just copies what God does. And so many of the things that the Holy Spirit does, this false prophet will do. He copies the work of the Holy Spirit. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But we call him the false prophet because Scripture calls him that or refers to him that way. Go ahead and look at these verses, chapter 16 and verse 13. Chapter 16, 13. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. There's the false prophet again, that terminology. Chapter 19 and verse 20. Again, I just want to give you the reason why he's referred to as the false prophet. Now, I can tell you this, the newspaper won't call him the false prophet. The CNN won't refer to him as the false prophet. So understand that. That's what the Bible calls him, and that's what we will refer to him as. But they would think he is the prophet. 19:20, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. So again, we see this false prophet, the terminology there. And then chapter 20 and verse 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And that's a good verse, amen. But so again, we refer to him as the false prophet. And the Bible says here that he's coming up, verse 11 again, coming up out of the earth. And, you know, there's a lot of verses. I think about the earth, how God cursed it after sin. And so earth is never considered a positive thing in the Scripture. The Bible, 1 Corinthians 15:47, look at that. Again, just to get God's ideas of the earth, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 47. Of course, the fact that there will be a new heaven and a new earth, 1 Corinthians 15:47. The Bible says, the first man is of the earth, earthy, talking about Adam. The second man is the Lord from heaven. So we see the difference there. And when we're born again, when we're saved, naturally, we initially we're from the earth. But when we're born again, we're born from above. We're born from heaven. And so, again, earth not being a good connotation. So here is a religious man that is earthy. And earthy, again, has the connotation of worldly and of the world. John 8, verse 23. John 8, 23. And I hope you're writing these down. You may not have time to turn to them. Somebody said, I go fast. Well, if you looked at how long we've been on Revelation, you might not say that. John 8 and verse 23, and he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. Again, getting this idea of the earth. 1 John 4 and verse 1, our last reference here, 1 John 4 verse 1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because, watch this, many false prophets are gone out into the world. Again, three times we've seen in Revelation he's referred to as the false prophet. But the Bible's very, very clear that there are many false prophets. But the Bible also said there were many antichrists. But there's one called the Antichrist. There are many false prophets, but there is one referred to as the false prophet. Truth is, an antichrist is the same as the antichrist. He doesn't have the same power necessarily, but he is anti, either copying Christ or opposed to Christ. Either way, false prophet is false. And so there are many false prophets in the world today, many false prophets, and they are of the earth, earthy. And that doesn't, things of the earth do not impress God. But notice Luke 16, again, good verse to write down, Luke 16 and verse 15. And God makes it very, very clear, Luke 16:15, and he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. That which is highly esteemed. So among men, that which comes from the earth, we can be very impressed with someone. We can be very impressed with their buildings, the religious systems of the world, and all their money and all their beauty and their architecture. And we can be very impressed with all those things, and yet that which is highly esteemed among men, it doesn't mean a whole lot to God. And God sees through it. We need to learn how to see through it as well. Berean Baptist Church is not Berean Baptist Church because of the stained glass, the chandeliers. It's Berean Baptist Church is Berean Baptist Church because we preach this book. And we are Berean Baptist Church because you heard the book, we heard the truth, we trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we did what God said to do, and we don't have to have the beauty, we don't have to have all these things. What a blessing to be able to have them, what a praise to the Lord to be able to have them. But the truth of the matter is, we can continue on, and we've had very nice Wednesday night services down in the teen room. So again, you know, let's not esteem all of the fanciness and make that important. Let's understand the most important thing is the truth. And it's the truth that will make us free. So the false prophet doesn't impress God. All the beauty, all the fanciness. I'm just thinking of religion. I'm thinking of, beautiful buildings and artwork and all that kind of stuff. And the Bible says also in verse 11, says he had two horns like a lamb. That's an interesting thing. Two horns. Horn in the Bible is always a symbol of authority, and yet the horns of a lamb. But that's how you see religion. You know, that's how a lamb or a ram, very mild manner, as opposed to the violent nature of the Antichrist. Again, you have the two-edged sword, if you will, of the power of that day, and you have the Antichrist and his war machine, wreaking havoc across the world, and you have the religion and all of its peace and robes and candles, and just the whole thing, very mild mannered of a lamb, which is what you would expect. But notice, he spake as a dragon. And so outward appearance just looks so good. And every time I read that verse, my mind, and don't get me wrong here, and I could probably, are there any, do you know, if we don't see any drones or anything, do we? But I think of I won't say where, but this beautiful mosque. And how, and the call to prayer, and all that, but then I can hear the command of Sharia law going out to massacre people, and that's what I think of. Again, I'm not saying the Muslim religion is the false prophet. I'm just saying it is that beautiful facade. Okay, let's go back to the Inquisition of the Roman Catholic Church. where all the pomp and the beauty, and I mean, it just looked so good. And yet the mouth is speaking, kill them, you know? And maybe even with a smile. And in the name of God, oh my. But that's what's going to be in that day. And so outwardly, like a lamb, but the mouth of a dragon. And so the words of Satan, and it will look pious and religious and beautiful, but the voice will speak on behalf of the dragon, Satan. And that's all part of the deception. But again, we shouldn't, you know, I mean, as far as us, it doesn't shock us because we have history books. Well, it depends on where you went to school and what year you went to school, because history books are starting to cross out. A lot of kids today don't know about the Inquisition. A lot of kids, they're not learning about the way religions are massacring people that don't believe like they believe. Somehow everything gets turned around and the fundamental Baptists or independent fundamental Christians are the ones that are the bad guys and the others are, they're okay. That's all part of the deception. You know, I don't know of any time or any place that independent fundamental or just Bible-believing Christian people that love God, I don't know of any time or place that they have massacred people because they didn't believe like them. We've never executed anybody. You know, hey, new Vacation Bible School promotion, executions. We don't do that. You know, we know that you can't get people saved that way. Well, history will tell you that religion over the years, and that's why so many people get turned off toward religion, because of the pomp, the piety, the beauty, the religiousness, and then if you don't agree with us, you're dead. And it's seen in countries, and it wants to be here. Believe me, it wants to be here. And you know, you have to look real hard to find anything about Christians being slaughtered anywhere in the world. You don't see it in the front page of the paper. You don't see it typically anywhere in the average newspaper or on the news, but it's happening. It is happening. And it's all in the guise of a beautiful, beautiful religious, whether it's a mosque or a temple or a cathedral with all the gold and beauty and everything else. Understand that the blood of godly people is being shed by those religious institutes. And what we see versus what they really are and what they say is exactly what verse 11 is telling us about the false prophet. He is going to be very religious and part of a huge religious system. And I don't think it's going to be any one religion. I think it's going to be the ecumenical, the combining of all religions. By the way, do you understand that all religions, other than what we believe, they all have one thing in common? And that is you have to work your way to heaven. I mean, you can combine, really, honestly, unless you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for your sin and you must be born again, Then really you can get along with everybody. We're the ones, we don't get along. Why? Jesus said, I am the way. We're narrow-minded. Yeah, we are, because he said that. And so again, that is going to be the thing. This combining and this facade of religion is going to deceive so many people. And obviously, it looks good on the outside, but what will he be saying? And he'll be saying, kill them. Verse 12 is the goal. He exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, that's the Antichrist, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And so, again, there's a picture, which we'll talk about later on, of the Holy Spirit, his work of guiding people to Jesus Christ, pointing people to Jesus. I've preached on that many times, the Holy Spirit, that's his job, you know. It's to uplift the Savior, the Lord Jesus. And, the false prophet is going to be uplifting the Antichrist and trying to get everyone to worship the Antichrist. There will be promises. There will be guarantees. There will be all these different things. The word power here, again, is the exousia, not the dunamis. And again, we've talked about that a couple times. There is a power that is like dynamite. Boom, it's power. Then there is a power that is exousia, which is authority. He will have the same authority, the exousia of the Antichrist. He'll have the religious authority as the Antichrist had the political authority, and it will be just an unbelievable kind of a thing. And again, I always like to go back to the idea when people say, well, you know, once I see the rapture take place, I will know that I need to get saved. Well, you have the fact that God sends a strong delusion that you'll believe the lie. But you also have the fact that if you could not get saved today, where, especially in a church service like our church, where you come to the altar, somebody takes a Bible, shows you how to get saved, or in your own home, when you're out soul winning, and all you have to do is bow your head, trust Christ as your Savior. You know, if you won't get saved, how in the world do you think you're going to get saved when the whole government, the whole worldwide religion, everything is against that, and everything is pointing at you need to worship and trust in the Antichrist, who is going to be promoted as the Messiah, or in some religions, the Maitreya, whatever you want to call him. He's going to be the anointed one. He's going to be promoted as the one, and all the media, everything that you're going to see is going to promote him as the one. And then you see the guillotine set up. Well, if I, you know, and before you see that, you're hungry and you can't buy or sell. And you can't get food. And you're starving. And you're telling me you're going to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior? Now, some will, and many will, but for somebody to think that way is so foolish. It's so foolish. Well, you know what? And I've had them tell me that. You know, people that are lost, they've said, well, when I see all this really happen, I'll believe then. I don't believe that. I don't think so. And the Bible indicates otherwise, I think. But it's going to be a terrible time. So, ushers, if you'll go ahead and come, we'll get our offering. And we just have a few minutes. Let me move into Roman numeral 2, his activity. And this is where we kind of look at different things, but especially the comparison with the Holy Spirit of God. And verse 13 says, "And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men." And so he does some miraculous things. Again, I do want to remind you, just as the Antichrist does some miraculous things as well, we have to be reminded that it's only because God allows it. You know, Satan has power. Satan has, you know, God's allowed him to work within the sphere of the prince of the power of the air, and he has power. He has supernatural power. Somebody said, "Do you believe in ghosts?" I don't care about a ghost as much as I know there are demons, and I know they have power. I know they can do things. I know there are things that God allows them to do. I have seen those things. You know, as a pastor, I've watched. I've dealt with demon-possessed people before, dealt with demonic spirits and evil and you know, all those kind of things. And that the supernatural doesn't necessarily bother me. I mean, the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers. And they're spiritual powers, and they're invisible powers, and there's things that go on we can't explain. So obviously, during this time, there will be an activity carried on by the false prophet that will be with the help of demonic spirits. There will be many, many things going on, supernatural things, things that people cannot explain, and those kind of things. But again, what is the purpose? Well, the purpose is all one thing. That is to deceive. And it is to try to deceive us. You know, we have to understand, and I'll talk more about this next week, no miracle or supernatural thing or any of those kind, none of that can take the place of the Word of God. Satan will do his best to make those things take the place of the Word of God. I've heard it. I'm sure Don has heard it as a pastor in counseling and different things where a person will say, well, God showed me through this, some supernatural thing, that I'm supposed to do this, and it's totally contrary to the Word of God. And you say, okay, look, now listen to me. Nothing can contradict the Word of God. And they'll look at, yeah, but I know what I saw. I know what I experienced. I know I saw this miracle. Now this is, you have to understand, during the tribulation, this will be huge. These miracles. Now folks, listen to me. I don't care who it is. I don't care what they say. I don't care if they're famous on TV. If their miracle, or whatever it is that takes place, if it contradicts what this book says, then it's out of hell. It is not true. Again, we are living in a day where people are looking for something, and the supernatural just really is something. I mean, it is so big, and they're basing their doctrine on something they saw rather than what God said. That's why the Bible is so important. That's why we've got to hang on to the old King James Bible. So, again, just kind of whet your appetite a little bit. You know, next week I'll tell you how I was deceived in an instance by something like this many, many years ago. And I kind of chuckle about it now, but I'm telling you, you can get sucked into this thing so easily. And it'd change your whole life, change your whole ministry. It can change everything that God has planned for you if you're not careful. That's why you need to stick to this book. I'm watching people drop all around us in people that believe and go soul winning and believe in what we've believed for years. I'm seeing people that believed it for years that are throwing it out because, well, I know what I feel. I know what I experienced. I know what I saw. And it's some supernatural thing, and forget it. Here's what you can trust right here. You can't trust those things.